Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see you all. It's good to be back. And I know we're missing a bunch of people today because of quarantining and other allergies as well. But it's so good to be back. And just thank you for your prayers and encouragement for our family. We're all doing well. And the Lord is definitely brought healing to our home, and so we're all doing good, so it's so good to be back. This morning I was supposed to continue the series through Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. We were looking, most of this year we've been going through Ephesians, and but this week, in the last week, I've been reading in my devotional time through John's Gospel. And I really felt a nudging from the Lord to jump into a few weeks looking at John chapter 15, and then to spend a couple of weeks just focusing on the church, who we are, and our role in society, especially in this time of the elections and all the swirl that's going on around us. You know, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus is all about identity. It's who we are in Christ. Well, this is all about our identity as well. John 15 is all about our identity as the body in, of Christ. And so I really felt we should take this little, probably the next 4 to 5 weeks, and look at this, look at the church, the election, our role in society. But we've got to begin by who we are. What is our role? And, you know, the last 6 months, 7 months, I'm sure you've heard many, many times everybody says, and not everybody, but most people say, I just wish things could get back to normal. I wish things would get back to normal. What is normal? You know, people saying, well, I wish things would get back to the way they were in January of 2020. Seems like a long time ago. January of 2020. But what is normal? For most people in the church, normal was couched in passivity. It was just coasting along, just going along and going through the motions of life. And we were pacified by sport, we were pacified by entertainment, the media, and just being able to, anytime there was a challenge in life, we'd turn on the TV or and especially here in Kansas City, you know, I think January, February was a really exciting time, and nobody was unhappy because the Chiefs were winning. And that was a pacifier, and it was normal. But what it did was it prevented people from focusing on the reality of life, focusing on really what's going on. Sadly, even in the church, people were attending a worship service, they were attending church, they were part of the church, but there was no moving forward. There was a passivity, there was a normal. And people were coming to church out of a sense of well-being or culture or tradition, but the church was just another segment of society. The church was just another part of society fulfilling the role of being the church as part of culture. But I think since March, many of our societal flaws and challenges have been exposed. And everyone has had to make some really difficult choices. You had to make a choice to come to church this morning. You had to make a choice, and you know, you had to make a choice whether it was safe to come to church this morning, whether it was safe to attend this worship service. You know, and as I said, I've been reading through John's Gospel in my devotion times, and I usually every day I read one chapter of the Old Testament and one chapter of the New Testament, and it's amazing how they connect and they sync together sometimes. But John 15, I believe, is some of the most powerful teachings of Jesus. John 14, 15, and 16, the teachings of Jesus leading up to his arrest and ultimately his crucifixion. But Jesus used the analogy in John 15 of the vine and the branches. The vine and the branches. And I believe it really confronts our culture, where we are today, and what we're going through today, and who we are as believers in Jesus. So turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to read the first 17 verses of John chapter 15. And I'd love it if you'd follow along and keep your Bibles open, because there's going to be a lot of scripture references today. But this connects with Ephesians because it's about our identity. So beginning at verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, and so have I loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you friends or servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Amen. You know, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at this passage and dig into it a little bit. But today we're going to be looking at the vine and the branches. Next week, what I want to do, and just bear this in mind today, next week I want to focus on the fruit. What is the fruit that Jesus calls us to bear as being the branches in the vine? And then the vine dresser. And we'll speak about that next week. But it'll get really practical. So if you come this week, you have to come next week. You have to, the two are connected. But it's really important that we understand our role, and then we can look at the fruit. And we're going to look at a little bit of that today. But the context of where this took place, if you're not familiar, Jesus had just finished celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And they had just finished eating, and he'd instituted the Lord's Supper, he'd instituted communion, which we're going to, if you look on your tables, there's a little bowl with some elements we're going to share in communion in a few moments. And if you're on Zoom, please don't cut off the Zoom, come and join us and go ahead and grab some elements, and it'll be great if you could join us in that. I know we've got a lot of people on Zoom today. So Jesus says on the end of chapter 14, they've eaten, you know, amazing things have happened. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He washed his disciples' feet. And then he says, let's get up and go. It says in the end of verse 14, chapter 14, get up, let's go from here. Now it's nighttime. They finished eating. They were relaxing around the meal. And Jesus says, come on, it's time to go. What they didn't know was that this was the most significant night in all of human history. Jesus was prepared. He knew what was coming. He knew he was about to be arrested. He knew he was going to go in and spend time praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing over what was yet to come. And the disciples followed Jesus. They didn't know really what was going on. And Jesus said, let's go. So they head to the Garden of Gethsemane. They're walking through Jerusalem, and they're on their way to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus knew what was coming. He was taking this final opportunity to teach his disciples, this final important opportunity to teach his disciples about what was yet to come, but also their role as the church and as the beginning of the church. And Jesus used the symbol of the grapevine. They obviously went by some vineyards on the way, and Jesus used this analogy of the vine and the branches and the fruit. And the grapevine is an ancient picture of Israel. If you look throughout the Old Testament, the different prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea, they all use the grapevine as a picture of Israel. And in fact, the temple at this time, it is said, had a grapevine that grew over the entrance, a really large grapevine. So maybe they were walking by the temple, and Jesus pointed to the grapevine and started teaching them. And he opens this dialogue, and he says, "I am the true vine." Remember, Israel was known as the vine. And Jesus is saying, "No, no, I am the true vine." Jesus is the vine. The Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. And the true followers of Jesus are the branches. But branches are not simply for show. There's a role to play in being a branch in the vine. There's a requirement to produce fruit. The true followers of Jesus will produce fruit. You will produce fruit. John 15 has some incredible promises in God's word, but also some very scary warnings in God's word. The promises that we grab hold of very quickly, verse 7 and verse 16, we love this. Verse 7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Well, that's an amazing promise. We love that. We grab hold of that and say, I'm claiming that promise. But if I want to encourage you to read it in context of the entire teaching of Jesus, in the context of the entire teaching that Jesus is giving here in John 15, the desire of every believer, the desire of every follower of Jesus is to be a fruit-bearing branch in the vine. That's the desire of every believer. That's the desire of every branch, is to be one that bears fruit. So we read it in the context, and then we look at the next verse. Verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." God the Father is glorified through us bearing fruit. And we bear much fruit, and so prove that we are followers of Jesus. By bearing fruit, we prove that we are a follower of Jesus. If we pray that the Lord would use us to bear fruit, if that's the desire and prayer of our heart, I believe it sincerely that this is what Jesus is talking about, and he will always answer that prayer to be producing fruit for the glory of God the Father. Are we praying that God would bless us with lasting fruit for his glory? That should be the prayer of our heart. And this promise is repeated in verse 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So this verse, the promise is just turned the other way. And he says, you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father, he'll give it to you, and it's for his glory. So the challenge that's facing the church today, the challenge that's facing us today, what are we praying for? What are we praying for? Are we praying for peace? Are we praying for prosperity? Are we praying for comfort? Are we praying for things to just get back to normal? Or are we praying to be bearing fruit for the glory of God? Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, he writes regarding this passage, he says, "Any prayer which does not react upon my life and make it a more fruit-bearing life is not a prayer at all." And if you can see that on your screens, any prayer which does not react upon my life and make it a more fruit-bearing life is not a prayer at all. The terrible warning is found in this passage as well in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. These branches that are thrown into the fire, that are being discarded, they were one time, they were attached to the vine. They were branches. They were attached to the vine. They were part of the vine. At one time, they were attached to the vine, possibly because there was promise of peace and comfort. They were attached to the vine, possibly because there was a good community there, and it was fun to be around, and possibly because society accepted it and said, it's great to be attached to the vine. But they weren't bearing fruit. They had no desire to bear fruit. They were attached, but they weren't abiding. And there's a huge difference. There was attachment without abiding. Many people today are attached to the church, but they're not abiding in Jesus. They're not abiding in the vine. They're simply attached. Dr. Johnny Hunt writes, if you can go out there and do nothing for the kingdom of God, then you may not be part of his kingdom at all. That's sobering. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian and a follower of Jesus, one of two things is happening, and sometimes they happen at the same time. You're producing fruit, or the Father is pruning you so that you'll bear more fruit. That's what Jesus says here. You're either producing fruit, or you're producing and being pruned to bear more fruit. That's what Jesus teaches. And I believe that we are seeing a pruning taking place in the church. We're seeing a pruning process. The Father is the vine dresser, and he is removing branches that are not abiding in the vine. He's removing branches that are saying, I have no desire to bear fruit. I just want to be. Leave me alone. And the Father's pruning them. How about praying a prayer that God will always answer affirmatively? How about praying a prayer that God will always say yes to? Join me in praying for opportunities to bear fruit. Join me in praying prayers that will produce fruit. See the lost saved. See peace and joy brought into families and homes as God is glorified. Join me in praying for opportunities. In these uncertain times, in these times where everybody is looking for answers, join me praying because Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In January of 2020, I believe that many, maybe the majority of church attendees had no desire to bear fruit. They were attached. They were connected. It was a great club, very social, but they had no desire to bear fruit, to be abiding in the vine. You know, as we read the words of Jesus in John 15, we see that the key to producing fruit is abiding. Abiding. So what does that word mean? It's actually used 11 times in John 15, in my translation. The dictionary says it's to remain firm or fixed or unwavering. Another dictionary says to endure without wavering. So the picture you have of being steadfast, not wavering when the storms of life come, not being moved, not being shaken, that's abiding, firmly attached to the vine. One of the fruit that comes out of abiding is peace. Peace is one of the fruit that comes out of abiding in the vine. We know this from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So this comes from abiding in the vine. That peace that passes understanding that we pray for, we talk about, it comes from abiding in the vine and being abiding, getting our life source from Jesus. You know, I even in Christian circles, I hear a lot of comments about the world as it is today, and there's a tremendous amount of fear. Tremendous amount of fear. You don't have to look at Facebook to see how afraid people are, but I've been in meetings where all I hear is fear. Well, the pandemic, this, and the global economy, this, and there's so much going on, the political state of our nation. The general feeling is fear. Fear is not of God. And sadly, it seems to be an epidemic, worse than the pandemic, in our church, of fear. I'm talking about the global church, of fear. Fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. Fear does not come from abiding in the vine. Oh, people will say, well, you know, we're just being realistic. You know, you've got to be realistic. But in reality, no, the reality is God. He is the reality. Fear is not of God. Instead of saying, well, what if the creator of the universe, who holds all things together, promised to take care of you and me? What if we held on to his promises and unwaveringly, in the midst of the storm, said, no, I'm abiding in the vine. I will not be shaken. I will not give in to fear. Fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. Fear comes from not abiding in the vine. It's very simple. It's when we take our eyes off Jesus and look at the world around us, we begin to sink. We begin to sink into despondency and fear. Walking in fear is evidence that you're not abiding in the vine. It's evidence. You're not abiding in the vine. One of the evidence of abiding in the vine is feeding on God's word. Feeding on the promises of God's word. Getting our sustenance from the Bible, from what the promises that Jesus has given us, that his word gives us. I just want to pick out a few scriptures. And you know these scriptures well. But we need to be feeding on these words of God. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. It's become to mean so much to us. Psalm 91 has been a psalm that we've been reading for the last 7 months. It just keeps coming back. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. What a promise from God's word. Habakkuk 3:17 to 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. In Acts chapter 16, we read about this, the story of Paul and Silas, and they've been thrown into jail in Philippi for preaching the word, and you can read the story in Acts chapter 16. But their feet were in stocks, and they were in prison, and they had been beaten, and at midnight, they were singing praises to God. They were praising God and singing because they were found worthy to be punished, to be beaten for the name of Jesus. And here's a funny story. We were at that prison last year in November, but we were angry because we couldn't get in. The gates were closed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we got there at about 4 o'clock, and we were I think we were more angry that we couldn't get into prison than Paul and Silas were angry about being in prison. They were praising God and celebrating the fact that they were in prison because of Jesus, because of his name. Finally, in Revelation 20, verse 4, John's vision, and then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These are those that abided with Christ. These were those that when the world was going crazy, and this is not today, this is still a time to come, they abided with Christ, and as a result of abiding in Christ, they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Are we abiding with Christ? The reward for not looking at the world for our sustenance. There's a reward in not looking at the world for our sense of security. It's trusting Jesus for life and peace. Jesus is the true vine. You know, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Jesus makes this dramatic statement in verse 16. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give it to you." We must never forget, never make the mistake of thinking that we had any part to play in our salvation. Jesus called us, and he appointed us to bear fruit. We're saved by grace alone. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God." It's God's gift to be a branch in the vine. And by abiding in the vine, we will produce fruit. A branch on its own is weak and useless. You take a branch away from the vine, it'll quickly wither and die. It has no strength. It has nothing in itself. Cannot gain its nutrients or strength. You take a branch and you plug it into the ground, it's just going to die. It doesn't have the resources it needs to live and to thrive. A Christian is only going to be useful. A follower of Jesus is only going to be producing fruit by abiding in Jesus. Daily gaining our sustenance and our strength and feeding on the vine, getting our life from Jesus. Jesus is the source of our life. Galatians 2:20. I think I bring this verse up every week. "I have been crucified with Christ." I'm dead. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The key word, as I said earlier, is used 11 times in this chapter. Abiding, abiding, abiding. So how do we abide? How do we do that? It's a discipline. It's a cultivated discipline of being a follower of Jesus. It's spending time feeding on God's word, spending time in fellowship with other believers, spending time in prayer daily, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to sustain us. You know, if you're struggling with fear, get on your knees, open the Word of God, and spend time with Him. That fear will melt away. I promise it will, because it's a promise of God's Word. You know, there's a significant difference between being a part of the church and abiding in Jesus. You know, coming to the church when it's convenient or when it's, there's no pandemic or the Chiefs aren't playing. So thank you for being here this morning. I know you don't worship that idol. But the fact is, church has become a convenience, become a cultural accepted norm. But that's not always going to be the case. We need to come because we're abiding in the vine in our own personal lives, and then when we come together in fellowship, we're able to build one another up, pray for one another, encourage one another, grow together, and produce fruit together. That's the point of the church. Spending time individually with God's word, praying, meditating on what God is saying to you, feeding on God's word. That's abiding. So where are you today? Are you abiding in the vine? Or are you walking in fear? The storm clouds on the horizon are overwhelming you. You're consumed by fear because you're gaining your sustenance from the world. If you're feeding on the world, you're going to have fear. It's not being realistic, it's being afraid. But if you're feeding on God's word, if you're feeding on your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're abiding in the vine, you will have strength. You will have peace. So where are you today? Are you simply attached to the vine? Are you attached to the body of Christ? Or are you abiding in the vine? You know, I want to spend a few moments. We're going to celebrate communion together. But I want to spend a few moments in a little while. We'll pray, but I invite you to come and pray. You can come and kneel before the stage, but I don't want you just to leave today. If God is speaking to you, you know that you're not really abiding, and God is speaking to you. I invite you to come, repent, and get back to that life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to take this time to do that, to recommit to abiding in the vine. Maybe you've never understood what that means and you just need prayer for that. We'll have a team to be able to pray for you this morning. Maybe you've just gone through the traditions and the motions of church and it hasn't helped in this season. Tradition doesn't help in this season. Abiding does. Maybe you've never been a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ as Lord. I invite you today to do that. Come and pray with me. And maybe you want to, you've never followed Jesus in being baptized. In the next few weeks, we're going to have a baptismal service, and we've got a few people that want to be baptized. If that's you today, that level of commitment and stepping forward and say, I want to publicly testify about my relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you to come speak to me. I'd love to begin that process with you. But whatever God is speaking to you today, we're going to spend a few moments. I invite you just to come pray, kneel before God, and make some commitments. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that your word is so true. We thank you, Lord, that your word is full of promises of abiding in you. Lord, thank you that you're the source of life. You're the source of our life. You're the source of our salvation. Thank you for all that you have given us and blessed us. It's a free gift, and we thank you, Lord, for that gift of salvation. Thank you for the privilege of being called by your name. Lord, in this season, as a church, as the body of Christ, we want to be used by you in our community, in our neighborhood, with our neighbors, to be able to share the source of life with those around us. Please forgive us, Lord, for not fully abiding in you and trying to seek answers somewhere else. Forgive us for trying to produce fruit on our own strength, Lord. Holy Spirit, we invite you to challenge us today, to convict us of the areas of our lives that are not life-giving, that are not getting life from heaven. And we pray this in that precious name of Jesus. Amen.